Welcome to Cycle Breakers and Money Makers, a podcast for women of color and first gen who are breaking generational cycles and glass ceilings by going places no one before them has ever gone. I'm your host, leadership coach, and eldest daughter of immigrants, Mariela Della Mora. I left a 16-year marketing career to create a multiple six-figure-a-year coaching business as a single mom. Each week, you'll learn how to build unshakable self-trust, become in demand, lead with confidence, and make more money by being more of who you are. Hey, everyone. So I think today's episode is going to blow your mind a little bit, and I'll tell you why. Today, my client, Michelle Sejas, who I am interviewing, is going to tell her story. She's also going to explain how she doubled her income in the second half of last year and then literally surpassed that and is like knocking on the door of six figures already this year. And it's only the beginning of April. And there's things that feel like they're illogical, but I like to explain them because I want you to see how it is possible. Not to say that this should be automatic, but I want to showcase how there is more to making money than strategy. And Michelle is the perfect example of that. I am going to share some questions that I asked her actually after this interview. So I interviewed her. Following the interview, I realized there were some questions that I didn't ask her that had to do with how did you do it? What were you doing before that didn't work? What did you change? And we're actually going to open the podcast with that. So we're going to open with those questions of how did she do it? And then we're going to go into my interview with her. Now, just to frame this, Michelle Sejas, if you do not follow her, she is Thriving Chingona on Instagram. She leads a program called the Chingona Sabbatical that helps Latinas to find their purpose, create a sabbatical, disconnect, find themselves, even if they're not leaving their jobs. Purpose is really the key to everything, especially for Latinas and daughters of immigrants who grew up in survival mode. She is an exceptional speaker. She is sought after, and she's just a really fucking cool person. If you've ever been around her, her energy is like so infectious. She is just like, you just leave filled up when you're with Michelle. And when she joined Reclamation last summer, she and I were friends and we knew each other. I think like Latinas kind of know each other in the space, or we sort of like watch how each other moves and everything. And so when she joined Reclamation, not only was I like deeply honored, but I also was like, okay, this is someone who I see in this space and she's just so badass and she's doing something that is breaking out of a lot of the conventional boxes that you would expect to see in a Latina in like the best possible way. In working with her, I kind of got curious. And some of the things we did is we looked at like, what were her natural gifts, the places that the clients were already coming from. But we also kind of looked at sort of what was getting in the way and where she was getting in her head and all of that. And so the result of that was, again, that she, in the second half of 2023, doubled her income from what she made in the first half. And then since then, like I said, has made, she mentioned 75K in Q1. She has two more contracts out for 70K. So at this point, like if both of those go through, it's going to surpass six figures and then some. And like we're in April. And I wanted to break down what happened there, because what I've seen in clients of mine who completely blow up their results in the best possible way is that what we wind up building as the foundation of the house first is your self-trust and your access to yourself. My guidance, strategy, frameworks, tweaking, those are things we did, but they have to be built on a bedrock of you and your access to yourself and your self-trust. And my tools are designed this way, all the things, so that you can understand what's happening and you can make decisions from that place rather than, Mariela, what should I do? Right? And then my clients don't necessarily come to me with that, but a lot of how I coach is based on like, how would we make a business decision based on what is working, what is already aligned, where opportunities have come in, what are your ideas of like, what is it that you want to do? What kind of business do you want to grow? How do you want clients to find out about you? Because for Michelle, she's an incredible speaker and her business opportunities came from that. Where someone else might be like, I don't want that. I love writing and most of my, you know, things have come from that. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to open with the questions that I asked Michelle so that you can kind of see, you may see that there's some things in there that apply to you. So I'm going to open up with the three questions that I asked her, her answers on how she did it. And then we're going to go into Michelle's story. And Michelle's story is amazing. She really just, like I said, kind of broke out of all the conventional boxes from an early age. And that's just sort of followed her through. So I think there's just so much inspiration, so many lessons here. And with that, let's get started. So the very first question that I asked her was, how did Reclamation Mastermind and the community enable you to double your income in the second half of 2023 and hit 75K in the first quarter of 2024?
So when I reflect on what was going on the first half of 2023 and what happened the second half after I joined Reclamation, honestly, I had this switch that clicked when I went into Reclamation where I was able to trust myself again. So when I think back to like where my mind was in the early part of the year, you know, when I reflect back, I think about how so much of my career has been defying statistics. Like where I grew up as a Latina, when I was young, I should have been a teen pregnancy. Like that was the highest rate of teen pregnancy was actually where I grew up, but I didn't. I ended up graduating from college. I ended up getting a doctorate, which less than 1% of Latinas have. I'm a high school principal, which like less than 5% of school leaders are even Latino, let alone like Latinas. I became an executive director of a nonprofit, again, very low. So my whole career has been defying statistics of what should be possible for me as a Latina. So when I came into the entrepreneur space, even though multiple people had told me it takes about 3 years to really figure out your business and kind of land and really start to make money, I came into entrepreneurship like, nah, this is another place where I'm going to defy statistics. I'm going to do it in a year. And then it was kind of like I was putting this pressure on myself. I was working with a coach who very much was like tactical, just do this, do this, do this, copy what I say, and you're going to make millions. And it was a person who had made millions. So I think in my mind, I was like, I just have to do everything this person says. But the thing was, is like, I just wasn't getting it right. And I heavily put that in quotes. And like when I would get feedback from this person or they would kind of share with me like the things that were not working in my business, it just started messing with my brain that I was actually going to be able to do this and that I actually had the skill set to be an entrepreneur. So when I joined Reclamation, I remember I was in this headspace of, and let me pause for a second to say, my business was successful. Like I was making more money than a lot of people make, you know, from what you look at the data. So statistically, I actually was a successful Latina business owner, but I wasn't making the amount of money that I needed to make to retain lifestyle from previous career. So I want to put that little caveat in there because people would say like, wow, your business is going so great. And to me, I'd be like, no, it's not. So when I came into Reclamation, I actually had told myself either I'm going to hit like big numbers the second half of this year, or I'm going to start looking to go find some C-suite role where I can quickly make 200K. And so when I went into it, there was kind of this all or nothing thinking, but over the time, like working with Mariela and engaging and talking to other folks, I just felt myself like slowly releasing and releasing this pressure and this expectation of having to get it right, of having to do things a certain kind of way, of having to be this master marketer. And it was like, once I relieved that pressure and took that off of myself, like I very vividly remember being in a yoga class and just saying, you know what, I'm ready to release so I can receive. And I repeated that like the whole class. And like the last, I mean, honestly, I made more money the second half of the year, but it was really the last 2 months of 2023 where it was like multiple sales calls a day and it was signing, 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 signing. And just like a flood of money came in the last 2 months of the year. And I'd had a call with Mariela where I had said, like, I'm really concerned, like, I'm not going to hit my goal. And Mariela had said, like, it's already done. And as simple as that phrase is, I kept repeating it to myself and it was done. So now going into 2024, I actually have my revenue goal of $250,000 for this year. It's on a post-it in front of my computer and it says 250K in 2024 in revenue is done. And so like, there's just something about that freedom of I'm going to just do what matters to me, what intuitively I know is the right thing to do, what I'm passionate about, my purpose, the money will take care of itself. And I am at 75,000 in sales for quarter one, about to lock in two more contracts for 70,000. And I mean, sales wise, I'm like on the route there. And revenue, I have brought in $50,000 in revenue so far from that sales. And so, like, I'm on track and excited to see how the rest of the year goes.
And the next question, what did you try in the past to grow your business that didn't work for you? And what did Reclamation help you do instead?
In the past, I was just trying to get everything right. I mean, as a person who has multiple degrees and credentials and all these things, I've just learned that when I put my intellectual brain on and I study and I learn and I figure something out, I apply it and then everything works. And so coming into business, I think a lot of my thinking was, I just need to learn the technical of marketing. I just need to learn the technical of setting up financial systems. I just wanted to do all of this academic learning. And what I've realized over and over and over again is that in this space, yes, all the academic learning I've done in the past is relevant and it matters, but so much of this has actually just been like trusting myself. I have led high schools. I have led a nonprofit. Like, I have led, in a way, businesses. I have an entrepreneurial spirit that's been with me for quite some time. And I needed to stop trying to tell myself that I was doing this whole new thing I'd never done before and that I needed to do all this deep learning. What I've really settled into over the past, you know, year has been, you know what you're doing, trust your instincts, and I can't fuck it up. When there's a time when I, even if I were to do something that I maybe shouldn't have or kind of took me down another route, I just have to trust myself that I'm going to figure it out and I'll bring myself back. So the past year has really been about rebuilding trust, leaning into my intuition, and just trusting that everything else that has been my experience up to this point, the passion that brought me to this, the purpose that I feel in my business is going to direct me in the ways that it needs to. And like ultimately, like having the most self-trust I can possibly have in myself is what I think is really making the difference.
And so with that, what have your results shown you about what your success recipe is?
So everything I was able to articulate around kind of like the shifts that have happened and like how I was able to go away from being this person who had to defy all the statistics to just like being a person who's a Latina who's a business owner is actually there was when I had started getting like sales call after sales call and everybody was saying, yes, Mariela had said, you know, I want you to do a success receipt. And in the process of doing that success receipt, I was like, I haven't done anything different. Everything's the same. And it was just like, it was this aha moment of technically nothing has changed. I was still running my business. The posts were still going out the same amount that they were before. The content was pretty similar to what it had been before. Nothing technically had shifted. All the shifts were in my mindset and in the way I was engaging with my business and in the way that I was trusting myself more, because I just think I had spent the beginning of 2023 just losing self-trust over and over and over again, because I kept feeling like I was hearing I did not know what I was doing. So in the second half of the year, and now leading into where I'm at now, so much has been about mindset shifts, trusting myself, and just knowing like I'm going to figure this out and everything is going to work out the way it's supposed to, because I am like fully in my purpose and the work I'm doing in my business. And so me being able to articulate that now came from me doing that success receipt. But if you would have asked me this December 2023, I would have just been like, I don't know. Things just started to hit. And they did. But I can't ignore the fact that I had actually made a lot of very specific mental shifts that I have leaned into more and more over the past few months. And it just keeps, my business just keeps growing. And I can't deny the fact that it was when I had those mindset shifts. So yes, there's technical things for us to learn as business owners. Yes, I'm still getting a lot of knowledge around like things that I could do better, but there is not this feeling within me that I will never figure it out or that my business is going to fall apart if I don't figure out that one thing. My business will be okay because I am okay. My business will be okay because I have experience and knowledge from my past experiences that I can apply to this. My business will be okay because at the end of the day, like I always know I am employable. I will find a job. I will make money if necessary. But I can also apply all of that to my business. And doing that is helping it to grow.
And now with that, I am so excited to introduce Michelle Cejas. Now we're going to dive into the actual interview that I did live with her on Cycle Breakers and Moneymakers. Thank you, Michelle, for joining us.
Yeah, thanks for having me. I always look forward to some Mariela time.
Yes. I just love hearing you speak in general. I'm like, it's no surprise that like you're a speaker. I honestly think whenever Michelle speaks, like people listen and there's like snaps, there's claps. It's like, damn, you're very, very powerful. And you're going to share a little bit about that today, because that obviously takes knowing yourself, trusting yourself, knowing who you are. So tell us a little bit about your story and like emphasis on the parts of your story that shaped you having the business that you have now, where you help people live in their purpose and be them, their authentic self.
Yeah. Well, I have to start with ancestors, right? So much of what runs through me, I cannot deny, came from, you know, specifically the maternal women who came before me. And so I think of my grandmothers who had really hard lives, but they were also like the leaders amongst the struggle and the survival. My grandma Flora, who came from Mexico on my mother's side, she was escaping domestic violence. She came with two children. She was pregnant with my mom, you know, with a coyote. And to be a single woman with children back in the 40s and, you know, navigating another country undocumented, I mean, like, I got some chingona blood in these veins, right? Yeah. And then my grandmother
supported. It's like when you think about back in the days, it wasn't even supported like, oh, go leave your husband because there's domestic violence. It would just be like, well, you don't have another option, or like, just don't make him mad, or I don't even know. But like that, even that, like that was not the norm.
Totally. Very strong, independent women run through my veins. I think a lot of times we talk about all the things that have been difficult, but I can't deny the fact that it's a privilege that I had women before me who very much had a voice, very much had a vision bigger than themselves and their families, because then that just became an example for me of what it was going to be for me to kind of step into this. My Latina story is not always the same as other folks. And like things that I couldn't have pinpointed before that now I can say were privileges are things that helped me to kind of pivot in different directions than maybe like what the norm would have been. There's certain things that happened along the way that really took me in a different direction. When I was in first grade, some teacher decided that I was gifted, which I got a lot of thoughts about that because I think all children are gifted in their own ways. But in the district I grew up in, that meant that then I was pivoted to have a very different schooling experience from what I've researched of what most kids experience. But also, how many Latinas do you think were in that classroom? Like, oh, we were not the abundance. But that kind of set me on a path to do speaking at a younger age, to do project-based learning and to be thinking. I remember doing like mock Congress to advocate for things, to be able to get clear about like, so you want to make this argument for this thing, how are you going to do it? Now as an adult, and especially having worked in K-12, I can look back and say like, I had a completely different experience than other students had and are still having, where I can see where there's a struggle later in life to find your voice, to be able to be confident to speak up. I was just told that's what you're supposed to do.
Yeah. And it's interesting when you think about that, it's like how the odds, let's say statistically, we all kind of grow up with certain, like if someone were to take a bet on how our life were going to turn out, that there is a likelihood of, okay, teen pregnancy from where you grew up. Okay. You know, being a Latina, obviously your experience was different from other Latinas. And then on top of that, one decision from one teacher put you on a path, on an education path that, to be honest, it kind of would reinforce. You could tell, like, I feel like you can tell many children that they're gifted, and then you nurture them and you allow them to like use their, you know, decision making and their advocacy. I can definitely say someone who was the byproduct of the San Francisco public school system that you're raised to like not question, to memorize, and to like do what you're told. Until I went to college, then it was different. So I can definitely say that as like a byproduct of like the Bay Area public school system.
Yeah. And I mean, so what you just said, there's actually a ton of research behind that where they have done this before where they've taken entire classrooms of students. And the only thing they did is all year long tell them, this is the gifted class. And the students completely outperformed all the other students around them. And it was just because they didn't take they might have had them take a test as part of the research, whatever, but like it was literally just telling them that. I think about that sometimes now when I'm coaching clients, like sometimes I am helping them to see and reinforcing beliefs about themselves that they just never had when they were younger. But the research shows when we tell people those things and when they experience it and they start to have some success, they embody it. And then little by little, it's like, whoa, like I really can do these things that I didn't think were possible. Yeah. All that stuff still works for adults too, which is why I keep saying like K-12 was my foundation to build a framework for what like coaching is for me now for folks.
Yes. So then you went into K-12. Tell us a little bit about like then the path that took you on that ultimately brought you to your sabbatical and then coaching business.
I talk a lot about clarity of vision for your life and career because I didn't have that. so much of what you and I coached me on last year were, I think so much of it is like, I always kind of knew, like, if nothing else, I can go back to teaching. So I think I would always take the leap or the risk, knowing that I still could have a job, knowing that I would still be okay at the end of it. And not only did I do the job, like, I've done more than what's expected. Like, I've kind of exceeded what I thought for myself and what they wanted from me. I loved the high school. What I loved so much about it was you're with these young folks at a time in their lives when they're trying to make sense of things. But there was also something about those high school years where I think things started to click for me about, like, this hasn't all been an accident. I'd been listening to other people tell me, but I think that became the embodiment of, I actually, like, really am good at getting on a mic, because when you're a principal, you're on a mic on a regular basis. Mm-hmm. I actually am good at bringing people together. I am good at, like, building teams and building relationships.
I think about how in high school, it's like by that stage, they're asking themselves really deep and profound questions about what they want to do with very little information and a lot of what other people think that they should be doing. And I think sometimes even just having an example or of someone asking them questions about what they want versus telling them can absolutely change their life. Because I think a lot of folks can, well, at least like a lot of kids of immigrants, I think, could relate to, like, at that point, they stopped asking themselves what they really wanted and more about, like, what they should be doing. And that even having a friend, an adult, a tía, someone that wasn't, like, going down their throat and, like, telling them what they should do, that in itself, super, super valuable.
Yeah. That last part you just said is also what kind of set me on this trajectory, again, late years down the road, to, like, be like, why do I, because people are always like, why only Latinas? Without me really thinking about it then, again, like, there's a lot of intentionality now. But I had created this life that was not the norm for a Latina. I was supposed to be married. I was supposed to have kids. I was not supposed to be anybody who would be a breadwinner. And I was not supposed to be on a plane with friends every chance I could get, traveling all over the world, right?
Yeah. On that, at what point did you leave? Tell us about the role of, like, your sabbatical and then kind of how that ultimately led you to what you're doing now.
Yes. I was 10 years into, like, leadership in general and the district level. And was feeling that excitement and the joy of hanging out with the students in the beginning started shifting. Mm-hmm. Towards my last year, I remember there was mornings where I would just be like, oh, I don't want to get out of bed. Mm-hmm. And I can't do this for another 20 years.
Yeah.
There was just something in me that was just kind of like, you're going to have to figure another path. It's not going to be this one. Yeah. And of course, people were like, what are you going to do next? And I was like, I don't know. I'm just going with no plan.
Right. That was how it was when I left my job too. They were like, where are you going? And I was like, I'm going to go travel. And it's just,
and
like,
people are like, what are you thinking?
What is that? Like, is that a plan? And it's like, no, I mean, it can be, because I know that something is calling me to go do that thing. And then that thing, I'm going to figure it out from there, but not from here.
Totally. Totally. Yeah. I remember calling a friend of mine who'd been laid off for like 4 months. And I was like, so help me map this out. Like, how do I make the best use of my time? Blah, blah, blah. And they were like, if you need to lay on the couch for the next month and do nothing, lay on the couch for the next month and do nothing.
Yeah. And I'm thinking, especially if you have resistance to that thing, because then we want to be productive in, like, our time off. And but at the time, it made sense because you probably weren't, you had never stopped. You're always doing something. And It's like the idea of you sitting on the couch is like, what the hell does that mean? And it's like, and this is where we start to get guidance or wisdom that we didn't have access to, which I know you obviously know more about now, but yeah.
So I did travel. And I'm not going to lie, subconsciously, I think I thought it was relaxing, but I was like, I always tell people, like, I thought I was going to have an epiphany at a cafe in Paris. And I thought I was going to come back from this trip and just be like, it's all figured out.
Oh,
that is not what happened at all. The benefit of an extended amount of time is like, at some point, you're going to call out your own bullshit. So like, me thinking you can just gallivant around and everything's going to be great. Like, nah, they're like, my body was speaking to me. My feelings were speaking to me. There were thoughts coming up that I had not given space to for so long because I was just busy all the time.
It's noise.
Totally. And I remember sometimes I would have a meditation and I'd have like a clear phrase that would come to me or a clear word. And it didn't make sense at the time, but I just started this collection of like writing all of these things down. And I remember I just kept telling myself, it'll all make sense at some point. Mm-hmm. Like, I just had this intense amount of trust that there was going to be this epiphany at some point and everything was going to fall into place. And it did.
Yeah.
But I also was exploring and playing, I guess you would call it. Like, I did send out an email to a bunch of people, some I knew, some not so much, and just said, hey, here's my resume. I'm a bomb-free intern. I just want to explore life outside of K-12. So I got to explore nonprofit world. I was exploring like some consulting stuff. Some consultants that I knew were like, I actually have more work than I can handle. Do you want to do a project here and there? So it was my first exploration into entrepreneurship.
Yeah.
But during that time, as I was getting clear on like what I was meant to do, there was themes that started to emerge. And this is all the stuff I now teach in Chingona Sabbatical. I started like analyzing what were the days that because I remember even to the end, there were days I'd walk on campus and be like, I could do this for the rest of my life. And then I would second guess my decision to have made the announcement. There'd be other days I'd go on campus. And again, it was that drag. I can't do it. So I started actually like analyzing and charting, like, what are the things that are different on these days?
Yeah.
I'd done StrengthsFinder before.
I was like, the beginning of you finding your purpose, would you say? It was almost like you were asking yourself this question. And then this sort of became your framework of what you, framework loosely, like what you teach your clients.
So yeah, so everything I did during that 6 months is now what I teach in Chingona Sabbatical.
Okay.
And obviously it's grown and evolved because I've learned so many more things. Like I wasn't teaching nervous system, but nervous system is like a whole chunk of it. Trauma informed, all that stuff is like a big chunk of the program now that now I've learned a lot more. But yeah, so then I pulled out StrengthsFinder and I was like, let me remind myself what I'm really good at because I'd done StrengthsFinder a few times. I'm big on strengths now. And it doesn't have to be StrengthsFinder. There's a variety of ways I help folks do it if it's not through that. But like, how do you actually know what you're really good at and lean into that instead of trying to like make yourself twist and contort to get into some other title?
Yeah. Instead of working on weaknesses, because I think sometimes like we get taught, okay, like work on your weaknesses. And it's like, okay, and if you blend, what was it with Chingona Sabbatical? Was it passions and strengths?
Mm-hmm. So the formula is passions plus strengths equal purpose. And values will accelerate you into purpose-driven living.
That makes sense.
So I came up with these themes that started to emerge. Public speaking was actually one for me, which, not to get super into it, but if you look at the StrengthsFinder domains, all of my strengths actually lie in relationships and influence. So I love building relationships with people, and I love being on a microphone. And it's
this
not just
so funny. Because that's also what we've taught with your marketing, even. It's like relationships and influence is you performing your gifts in public, and that is what magnetizes opportunities and people to you.
Totally, which we can get into. I was fighting it for too long, which is also part of why I think I made entrepreneurship harder than it needed to be in the beginning.
Because you're trying to do it like someone else. Because I was going to ask you about that, and I have a question for you about that, around how like when you just leaned into like what your gift was. Because I think about that. It's like, I think that like passions and strengths are kind of like going along the lines of like a gift versus like a skill or something that you can work really hard at, but that's what you wound up doing. It's like, what if you were to just perform your gift publicly? And then that could be the way that like people find you and find out about you.
Totally. And I mean, like, and it's not that I can't do anything around execution or strategy. It's just that it's going to take more effort. It's not something that like is going to energize me and like pump me up every day. And so I started writing out like I wanted to do community development. I knew I love being around lots of people, and I just started filling in these buckets regularly. I wasn't planning on starting a business at the time, even though I was doing a little bit of somewhat entrepreneurial stuff. And then it just all happened in the span of weeks. I wanted to move to the Bay Area. I had a friend I'd been going out and hanging out with in the Bay Area, and they said, I met this person and they're looking for somebody to launch their nonprofit in Oakland. I think the two of you should meet. And three weeks later, I was in Chicago meeting all the people, signed a contract, and ended up a month later in Oakland launching this nonprofit, which was like totally the next move for me purpose-wise. I was building a team. I was doing community organizing because we were getting all these community orgs together that supported leaders of color. So that gave me the next wave of purpose work. And then I started getting curious about coaching. I started getting curious about like, I did enjoy working for myself, but I need to make it become something that feels more connected to this. Mm-hmm. Being able to lean into more of the, which I later learned was like coaching, folks of color, group coaching kind of world. And so I had that time to play. So I really think it's also important. I've learned this for myself, and I now tell other folks too. Sometimes you try to rush these things. Like the minute we have the vision doesn't also mean it needs to happen right then and there. Yeah. So it was like, I also let it be a slow burn over those 4 years. Of like, there's something here. I went and got my coaching certification. I kept saying, I'm doing this for Latinas. I didn't know what that meant at the time, but I knew that I needed to do that to eventually move into something that was going to get clearer. And but so I gave my
action in the meantime, instead of being like, I'm waiting for it to be like fully clear and mapped out. And I think that's part of what some of us, like some folks will miss, is that they don't quite know what it's going to be. So it's almost like if we don't take step one, then step two might not be might not ever show up. I remember thinking that in my journey around, like, if you just feel propelled to like move in a certain direction, whether it's curiosity or whether it's whatever that is, we're not supposed to know beyond that, because we're going to be a different person when we just take this next action, and we're being pulled and propelled in this direction for a reason. And it doesn't mean it needs to be a forever thing, but that in itself is like that tug that you start to begin to like lean into.
Yeah. And then like a lot of folks, the pandemic happened and everything changed. So I was sitting there and it was kind of like, again, it was kind of like the sabbatical again, that I had all this time to think and all this time for dreams to emerge, for ideas to emerge. And I started building out the framework for what became Chingona Sabbatical. So I don't have the typical journey where like people start coaching one-on-one clients and then eventually build a program. I was building this program
to you already. The program was in you. I think that's what happens, is we'll start with what was in us.
Mm-hmm.
And that comes to the world.
I was so shocked when people wanted to join. So I don't know why I was, I mean, clearly I was going through the process of building it and launching it. So like I wanted it to be a thing. But then when I did and 10 people signed up, I was like, oh, like this is actually a thing.
Yeah.
And so I started hosting it, and then, you know, it's evolved. I'm in cohort 6 right now. It's evolved over the years. So it's not still exactly the same, but that was the first moment of like, oh, okay, I think I can actually like start moving in this direction more. So yeah. I then, you know, kind of started doing more coaching. I was running the group coaching program. I did a couple launches. And during that time, all that money I was putting aside, I didn't spend any of that money because I was starting to, I knew from that sabbatical, you got to build that nest again, right? Mm-hmm. So I was building that nest again so I could take the time to walk away from my job and not feel the pressure of this all has to work tomorrow. Yeah. I'm constantly thinking about how am I creating some spaciousness and whatever moves I'm making. And so I was like, how will I feel safe? What do I need to build around me? What are the things that are going to help me to kind of take this leap, but do it in a way that's different than that little bit of entrepreneurship I experienced the first time? So, and I was slowly building to eventually, I hate saying take the leap because it makes it sound like it like happened like all of a sudden, but to like move my way into entrepreneurship in a way that now I would say was safe. That wasn't the language I was using at the time, but essentially I was building safety for myself to take the leap.
And it can feel like a handover, almost like a slow baton passing kind of period where you're like observing yourself and you're sort of like getting a landing pad ready rather than like the leap. But I think ultimately that is what you're doing, is you're preparing to take the leap, and it doesn't always have to look like a spontaneous thing. Like it could be the opposite of that. It could be something that you prep for years to do. And another thing I think that I would sometimes see folks that like think that it needs to look like that. And it's like, no, you can start to kind of tend to the garden that you want to build and then start moving towards that. And that's what you did.
Yeah. And then I put, I'm sure this is the next round of questions, but like, how did it go? I put way too much pressure on it in the beginning. I did so many things and I did not move into it the way that I had planned, because I think nervous system kicked in and was like, this is not safe. And I started trying to make a bunch of money at once, instead of just letting myself like slowly eke in the way that I had originally told myself I was going to.
Like doing multiple things at one time. It's like you're tending to all of that. And we think that that's actually what's going to give us growth, is like, I'm going to have this program and I'm going to have this program and I'm going to have this program. And I don't know if that was like the case, but I think anytime I've ever seen anyone try to create like a whole like offer suite and then, oh, someone is coming to me about this, I'm going to create an offer around this, that it just becomes like you can't tend to it all. And like things start to fall into cracks. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, and the other thing too is like, I teach this actually when we talk about strengths in Chingona Sabbatical and with clients, is that your strengths, yes, are great, but sometimes we can lean into them so hard that they actually are not benefiting us. So like futuristic is one of my strengths. I'm a dreamer and I can think of 20 things that can happen or are possible.
Yeah, I can already see that. Yeah.
And I'm an activator, which means that I'm totally fine building the plane while I'm flying it. So it's a comfortable space for me to dream 20 years out and to just start moving without a plan. But that does not benefit me if I'm not using my other strengths, like actually building the community first, like actually making sure that I have things in check, like my competition. So I leaned heavily into that, and it was all with good intention. I had more ideas. I had more things I wanted to do. It wasn't just about making money, but I wasn't really slowing down the way I had before in the sabbatical to just let things kind of happen as they were meant to.
Yeah.
Now you hear me say all the time, I'm planting seeds that will grow whenever they grow. But at the time I was trying to like force every dream for this business to happen in the first few months.
Yeah.
And I really had to step away from that.
I always think about how there's like kites and there's rocks or something. They'll say that in relationship, but I actually think that we have that within ourselves too, that there's like the grounded people that are like so in the weeds that they need help like stepping out of it and dreaming. And then there's those who are more like the kites, and it's like the visionaries, and you have all these ideas and you can activate things, and then needing to kind of cultivate the grounding of like, okay, and then what do I need next? And like, what's going to help that feel easier? And like just taking those steps. So it almost sounds like building that part so that the other parts could fly and like be easier to grow versus just going after all the things at once.
Yeah. Like now I'm like, I wish I would have taken 3 months to not do a damn thing, but I didn't. So now we're like, we're working on the vacations again now.
But it's also like, it's hard to do that when you're uncomfortable with the thing that you also think that you want to do. So I think like building that sense of, it's like a new expanded sense of like safety and comfort, because we think that we feel safe, but then we're really just like, we're used to a certain like pace of doing and thinking and being and serving and all of that. The slowing down, I feel like is a part of growth that like a lot of folks don't talk about. Like the slowing down and the intentionality is actually really like where you build what lasts and where you're building more intentionally. And so with that, you've mentioned so many parts in your story, just kind of like around how you took inventory in a way of like where you were, what you wanted. How can, just thinking of all the things that you've learned, and someone's listening and they're contemplating some sort of a decision. They're somewhere they're not sure they want to be. Like, you know how you'll feel like, okay, I just know that it's probably not going to be here, but I don't know where it is. What would you advise if somebody is in a situation where they feel like they are somewhere and that chapter is expiring and they're not quite sure what to do from there? Like maybe that's the best I can describe it, because that's how I felt, is that I'm in a chapter that's ending or something that's expiring and I don't know what's next.
Yeah. I mean, I think the first part is, as much as possible, how can you not wait till that moment comes? So like when I start working with a new client, even if there's nothing on their goals around a new job or a career pivot or anything like that, I'll still ask, is there anything on the horizon? Are you dreaming about what's going to come next at some point? So there's no pressure for them to have to like do that with me in our coaching container.
Yeah.
But I always want to help folks to be thinking, dreaming of the future. Like I want you to be dreaming really big.
Yeah.
So that we're constantly thinking now in these little decisions that are being made in our day-to-day lives and in our check-ins on a regular basis, how we're helping you right now, but keeping an eye to where you want to go eventually. So that you don't get surprised, you don't get shocked all of a sudden when something happens. Because sometimes there's stuff that's out of your control that might make you have to pivot quickly too.
Yeah.
As much as possible, how do we not get surprised by that? So I never stop dreaming. I'm always kind of thinking of the next thing. I'm always trying to help my clients be dreaming about the next thing. But ultimately, if you end up in that place, I have some, you know, sometimes that has happened. I tell folks, just make a move. You can't fuck it up. Like, I think sometimes we get stuck because we think we're going to make the wrong move. And I truly believe that even if my story would have looked different than what it was, I would still be where I'm at right now today.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I think that's just because I'm so rooted in this concept of purpose. Like, if you have a purpose in life and you're clear on what it is, moving in that direction, you're constantly going to move in that direction, whether you take the right move or not. And I heavily put that in quotes when I say right. I think that sometimes the fact that we just don't take any moves at all is really what makes it harder for us to fulfill our purpose than to take a move. It's maybe not the right one, but you learned something before you made the next move, which hopefully will get you back on track.
I get almost the visual of like a magnet. Of like, if you're at the ocean and, you know, they do like the little magnet thing that beeps
and then it's telling you,
whatever that's called. Somebody knows metal that detector. Yeah, like a metal detector. Exactly. That it's like, if you just go and you start walking, you're going to get a signal. And so I think the movement and the motion is how we get signals about whether we're either aligned with something or just the person that we become in the action. So. I'm getting a lot of like, we're not supposed to wait. We're just supposed to move and start to feel towards where is it that I'm getting pulled? What is it that like lights me up? What are the days where I feel like the most aligned and like things are the most effortless versus being like, I'm not quite sure what it is yet. And when I figure it out, that's going to be this like magical day where like everything changes.
Yeah. I really feel like that's another piece that I feel is like specific to me, like a gift that I bring to coaching, is that like, I am totally down to hold the container. I'm down to let all the messy show up here and we'll figure out some way to untangle it all.
Yeah.
But I'm also going to say, and what are you going to do with it? I'm an action-oriented person and I want to coach you to some action. So I'll usually end each call by saying, you know, here are some of the high points that I've noticed in this conversation today. Does this feel like something you can take one step on, or you can move on in some way before I talk to you again in 2 weeks? And then I usually will check in with them at the 1 week mark just to say, just a reminder, this is what you said you were going to work on. How's that going for you?
Yeah.
And, you know, if folks can't move, I get it. Life happens. Like, there's no pressure for it. But I think that also sometimes we can spend a lot of, if you are okay with dreaming a lot, how are you actually going to like make a move and not get scared that like it has to look a certain way for you to now move towards that dream? Just move and it'll figure itself out.
Yeah. I could definitely resonate with that as like someone who's done a lot of like almost what considers like non-conventional. It's almost like not the path that you can tell all of the steps because someone has walked it many, many times and you know what's next, that it is really just like the movement. And then through that, there is a feeling that is clarity one way or the other, you know, or there's a becoming that happens that changes what you would have thought or done next. Anyways, with that, I wanted to ask you kind of questions about what you've learned about yourself and how it's sort of like shown up in your business. So for example, this is something that you shared in last round of reclamation around leaning more into your unique success recipe versus following someone else's. And I think that that's kind of in line with like what we talked about, because I think you help your clients with understanding here is what others told you it like makes sense or was possible for you. And then you've had to figure it out. How has that looked in your business?
Yeah. There was this part coming into, you know, this coaching world, social media, you know, of it all, like in 2020, so much of it was just like about like social media posts, and then Reels came out and everything was about making your Reels, and you're seeing people who are getting like tons and tons and tons of followers. And I'm thinking like, shoot, like if I'm not getting all those followers, does that mean that like my business is not going to succeed? So I think it was just kind of like I was spinning a bit in the beginning about how it seemed like the roadmap to success was I had to really nail down social media. And just to be real, like I enjoy consuming social media. Creating for social media has not been my happy place. And I kept forcing myself, right? Like how to craft what's the formula for the right post? How do you make a reel that's going to go viral? Like all that stuff. And I had people that like had all this advice for me, and I'm listening to all these thoughts, and I had coaches who their success had come through social media. So like I'm hearing them talk about the things you're supposed to do. And I think actually when you and I started working together, I don't know if it was you had first said it to me, or maybe you just helped me to kind of like finally embody it. Yeah. But just that like my business is going to be fine whether or not I like crack the code on like social media. Because honestly, what I have figured out for myself now, like as I really started analyzing how things were coming to me and really owning more of speaking is my marketing. Mm. When I get on a stage and I speak, people line up afterwards and they want to talk, and then other opportunities come, right? When I go to a conference and I network and I walk the room and I'm talking to people, people are interested and they want to learn more. So now I see myself as like my physical presence in a room is marketing. Number one.
Yeah.
Number two is get them on my email list, and then they can hear me talk on a weekly basis, and they can see if they feel like I match up with what they experienced in person, if this is consistent, whatnot. Then there's like the posts on social media and all that kind of stuff. And I always say, like, I just consider social media to be my living website. You've met me, you had an experience with me, and then now you can go to social media or my email list or listen to me on a podcast or whatever. And you can see if like you think that over time, like consistently, I'm showing up the way that you experienced me that first time. And is it a match for you? And I've had folks that I met at a conference, started following me. And then 6 months later, they're like, I'm looking for a coach. And then they want to talk to me.
Yeah.
And so I have stopped trying to crack the code on social media. And instead, I'm just leaning into like, this is just what I'm really good at. And this is what naturally brings people to me.
And that doesn't necessarily mean that social media isn't part of it, but it's a different part of your journey that your future clients undertake, because it's not that they couldn't just find you on social media and that's how they discover you. That absolutely happens as well. But I think it's almost like when you're leading with your strongest magnet, you're going to pull the people in, and then social media is just sort of where they hang out with you in the meantime on your email list. But then if you're not putting the pressure of like, no, this has to do it all for me. It may not. These may be people who were deeply impacted by you, still remember words you don't even remember saying on the stage, and then they will just reach out to you when they're ready. It's just such a different relationship with social media. And then you create so much differently than I have to create reels because that's entertaining and that's going to get like random people. And hopefully some of them are ideal clients. It's just such a different relationship. So I love that you have had that realization.
Well, and I think like that part, right? Like the different relationship with it. And I think going back to what we were saying earlier, also like strategy and execution are just not my strengths. My strengths are relationships and influence. Put me on a stage, let me network in a room. And that's when like it's easier for me. It's less work. And it actually energizes me.
Yeah.
I want to go to the happy hour after the event and to talk to people and do those things. I want to do that. Yeah. Put me in front of a screen and tell me to start writing a post. And I'm probably going to see her for an hour and be wordsmithing it and working. It's just like, it's not letting me flow.
Yeah. Right? I was going to say, it's almost like if they said like, here's 60 seconds to say the thing you want to say, and here's 60 seconds to write the thing you want to write. I feel like it's
totally different experience.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Again, like thinking about like now, like building team and all that kind of stuff at that point, like at this point in my business, that was also, I think like my third hire was somebody who actually just manages my social media for me. Yeah. Because I just want to keep talking. So if I can send you a message and just say, hey, I have some thoughts right now, or I just got off a coaching call and I'm thinking about this, or here's a recording of this thing I did, and they can just take all the things I'm saying and somehow put it into words, again, like it's still my voice, it's still my message, but I'm not bottlenecking the service through me having to be the person to write it, because otherwise like it would just be sitting in half-written Google Docs all over my computer.
Yes, I can absolutely resonate with that as someone who is a speaker and a verbal processor, that like we can create systems around anything we want. But if it's like, okay, well, what is the fastest path from like brain out into the world? Then how do you create a system around that? It can be totally different for you than it is for someone who's like, I write emails and then that's the only way that I create. And it all works. And I think what I may have said in one of our earlier conversations was like all forms of marketing work. But marketing is literally, how do people know that something exists? How do we build relationships and trust with people? That can be in a room, in person, on stage, in a podcast. It can be going to a chamber of commerce like meeting. It could be literally so many things. So I can totally resonate with that.
Yeah. I want to highlight you for a second. What you just said is that you never once, even when I said like it wasn't working or it wasn't going right or whatever, you never sat me down and said, well, let me walk you through this formula. Right? Like you definitely have like your framework and everything that you do. But I feel like so often the questions and the conversation with you and like your coaching is very much you just trying to lean into more of like what feels comfortable for me, what feels more like aligned with my strengths, as opposed to, I feel like I've worked with other folks that it very much was like they had a framework and they kept putting me back to the framework, kept pushing me back to the framework and wanting me to like I remember folks like literally dissecting with me, you should say this here, you should say this here, you should say this here. And I'm sitting there, you know, I'm a good student, diligently taking notes, being like, okay, I'm going to crack this code.
Yeah.
You have a framework, but I've never felt like you were like, you have to follow my framework for this to work. I feel like you're like, that's a resource. But in our coaching, if we go in a different direction, trust yourself to go in the direction that you're meant to go in.
Yeah. And I think the one thing that I always want everyone to walk away with is that if I have guidance, you understand why. When you don't understand why, you can't contextualize for yourself. That is where someone will walk away from coaching and say, well, they told me to do XYZ, but you don't know why. So I think the way that I think about marketing is the way that I think about business. That it's like, if I'm a marketer and I go into a business, I won't go in and say, here's how we market your product. Like I really am looking at like, who consumes this product? What is important to them? What is this, you know, and maybe it's different with people because you're also looking at strengths, but it's like, it literally doesn't make sense to say that there's one way of doing things. It just takes more context to teach in like, helping someone think about their business versus what to do in exact order in their business. So I'm glad it's never felt that way. It's never intended to, but even when there's guidance, I always want to add context because I want someone to be like, okay, I hear that. And the reason I'm going to do it this way instead is because of this. And it's like, okay, cool. So different from like, I'm not following a framework. With that, I wanted to ask you, because that kind of piggybacks off of this, is you were able to double your income in the second half of 2023 through what you described as like a release. Can you tell us like what that looked like? What do you mean by doubling your income through like release? What did the release look like for you? And how did that impact your sales?
I mean, I think going back to like that first 3 month story, right? Like I was supposed to rest and instead I was like creating all these things. Again, like there was no ill intent in that. And like, you know, I still have that somewhere. Every now and then I pull out resources from it to like, you know, offer to coach to clients and stuff. But I think where I've gotten to now is, you know, I'm like now almost 3 years into it, is I think I really have been grounding myself in, Michelle, if this is your purpose, you can't fuck it up. If you don't launch this next thing right now, like I'm coaching myself through coaching my clients. Yeah. Like this is something that has been within me for years now. There are things, like when I talked about during the sabbatical, I'd have phrases or things that would come to me that I'd write them that didn't make sense. There's things that are now making sense. And so I think I can ground myself in what I'm doing is bigger than me.
Yeah.
It's not that I have to do the right next move in my business for me to be able to serve people the way I'm supposed to. I've really kind of relaxed in there's lots of opportunity. Whatever opportunity is supposed to be the next one will make itself super clear and super evident. I'm a big believer in signs. And so there's just something that started to shift at the end of last year. We were, you know, I had moved into reclamation second half of the year. And I remember thinking when I joined reclamation, like, okay, this shit needs to work. If it doesn't, like, I cannot keep paying all this money to coaches. I'm going to have to start exploring. Maybe the next level of purpose is going back and getting a job again. And it's going to be a job I just can't, like, you know, all the things that had happened in that first sabbatical, like maybe I'm going to go get a job again. It's going to be something I couldn't have even have anticipated was like, actually purpose is going to actually be within an organization. I was kind of like, when I joined Reclamation, I was mentally preparing myself for there's going to be something that happens in the next few months that's going to make it very clear either way that this is the thing that's supposed to happen. Or actually this was like part of the journey, but not going to be the next leg of the journey. And there was something I think about just finally kind of leaning into that. I had things that started popping up and instead of resisting, I was just kind of like, let me try it and see what happens.
Yeah.
Or maybe just let me put this on the back burner and it doesn't have to happen right now. I'll know when it's supposed to.
Yeah.
And I, you know, I'm big on yin yoga. That's one of the ways that I keep my nervous system calm. And I remember I was in a class one night and I don't remember what the teacher said. And all of a sudden I was just like, release to receive. And then I just repeated that like forever during the class. I would just like, you know, exhale, release, inhale, receive. And that was kind of like what I kept saying every time I would like breathe throughout the whole class.
Yeah.
And it was something about that moment that like that kind of became the mantra for the rest for the, I think it was like the last 2 or 3 months of the year.
Yeah.
And I was like, that's my mantra going into 2024.
That is like, so good.
I need to release that I'm going to come up with a perfect plan. I need to release that I'm going to know better than anything else, like what's supposed to happen. I will actually be able to receive more than I even know is possible if I do the work without any expectation connected to it, which I acknowledge is way easier said than done. But I have just been able to continue to literally like ground myself in that. And stuff just started popping off like back to back to back to back where it was like things were showing up months, seeds had been planted months before, and then it started to happen. Opportunities that I couldn't have expected. And it was also, I was getting this like quick confirmation from the universe that like, all right, you finally did it. Here you go. And so it was, you know, I'm not going to lie. It's easier to release when you're getting a lot of receiving. And so like, I was like, so much was happening that I was like, okay, there's something to the fact that I have completely let go of. It has to happen by this date. It has to happen in this way. And it's going to happen because I did this, this, and this. I've come into 2024 just like, again, I have a ton of dreams. I have like 5 different things I want to do for my business. And it's going to be clear which one is next when it's meant to be. And it's going to be clear what I'm supposed to do because I'm going to intuitively know or a sign's going to come. But I've kind of released this need to have everything mapped out and planned. And I'm just going with intuition and I'm going with trusting.
Yeah.
And so far that's working for me.
And you know what that makes me think about with there's an illogical pattern, it seems, to when and how we receive that we think, okay, output or strategy means input. So when you think about like, how is it possible that in half of the year, a person could bring in like twice the business opportunities? But I know you shared something with me before we started recording and it was a number. And I think that was the number you were at in like September of last year. And when I see that happen, and we're at the beginnings of March, and granted, I'm sure some of these were like seeds you've planted like long ago, but the fact of you could plant seeds, but if they're not ready, if we don't have the capacity to hold it, there's an energetics thing. Like I think we self-protect in business in ways we can't even quantify, that you're literally like taking stuff out of the cabinets and just like welcoming it in. So like that blew my mind when you shared that with me, because I'm like, the fact. And I think that can take the lid off of how we dream as well, because it's like, it may not always be like, oh, well, it's this. And then it's like, we're going to add a little bit more off top. Like you actually could blow the lid off of like what you think is possible for yourself, but it requires the releasing first. So I love what you said about release to receive, but without the attachment, but the release to receive just makes so much sense when you think of space and creating space.
And yeah. I still have to say that mantra every day. Like, it's not like it's just suddenly gotten easier. Like, there's still moments when I want to somehow control it, figure it out. Like, I think I had put this in our Slack channel.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, the first 2 months of the year, I was like, I'm already at 50,000. And I was like, and my brain immediately was like, you can't keep this up. This can't keep going. Like, there's no, and it's just like.
But then that's still the part of your brain that wants things like, if it doesn't keep going, something's wrong. And it's like, okay, well, this is great. Have we received it yet?
I've had to say this over and over again to myself.
Yeah,
Michelle, we don't know how this is going to keep going. We don't know what this is going to look like in the next 6 months or at the end of this year. It could blow my mind even more.
Yeah.
But right now, I'm just going to keep the course. I'm serving my clients really well. They keep renewing. Things are going well in my business. I love the work I'm doing in group coaching. I enjoy the speaking. I'm still doing work. But it's like I keep leaning into the things that I'm enjoying and the things that I'm good at. And I keep releasing the need to be building all these other things around me that like I probably don't need yet. And I'm going to know when it's time. And I know some folks might be like, that is too fluffy to be like, I'm going to trust my intuition. But you know what? Once I started doing that, it started popping off.
And you know what, too? It's like the part of your brain that may, or that are of our brains that want to control, that's like, we can't keep this up. Cause then the thing is you'll use every success against yourself when you do that, right? Of like, you can't possibly keep this up. And it's like, well, why does that need to be the barometer for whether or not we're safe? And I think about, well, what is true regardless is that you are still a version of Michelle that created X amount of opportunities or 70K, you know, this part of the year. And that's not going to change. So it's almost like that's still true regardless of what next month looks like or the month after that. So we tend to be like, well, it only is real if we continue it and one up ourselves and level up ourselves every month, when that's actually not the way that even like life cycles work or nature works. Like, there's going to be the cycles, but you're still the version of you who created that, and that's not going to go away.
Yeah. So. I mean, you and I talked about this at the end of last year, and I was really struggling with, like, I am a six-figure earner. That is my identity. It has been my identity for a long time, and I want that to continue being my identity. And I think, and I remember you were just like, it's done.
Yeah.
And I was, because I was still trying to be like, but I need to see the path. I need to see the path. And you were just like, or it's just done. You'll still be a six-figure earner at the end of this year. It'll be fine. And I even like made up, because I'm a post-it person. I even made a post-it and I was just like, it's done. And I remember I would like be doing stuff and then I'd just be like, you know what, Michelle, just keep doing this, this, and this because it's done. And sure enough, it was more than done by the end of the year, right? And so I think there's also just moments now where I'll be like, you are a six-figure earner. You will always be a six-figure earner. Even if it's not through entrepreneurship, you'll find a job where you are. But that's a done thing. I don't even have to think about it anymore. So let's just focus on other things. Mm-hmm. Because six figures will always be in my life, regardless of what
that
it looks like.
That can be your baseline. Like, I think about that I'm like, six-figure earner is your baseline, even in your most difficult times. Even in the times that you think, oh, I'm not creating anything or producing anything or things are not working out. Like, I just think like the identity of like the worst that can ever happen is like, I'll just be a six-figure earner in some form or another. Especially when we have had conversations about like, I'm a bougie bitch. Like, I like to have like the nicer things in life. And it's like, yeah, that's okay. And you know, we can still like, there's that and more, but the having enough, like, I think that there's a lot of safety around like, but if I don't have that, and I was like, no, that's in some version of you, that's already done. We just have to like, know that that's our baseline, you know?
Yeah.
I wanted to ask you a couple questions as we're wrapping up. I wanted to ask you around Cycle Breakers and Money Makers, obviously is the name of the podcast. And I wanted to ask what that has looked like for you. So what are the cycles that you broke in order to become the Michelle that you are today?
I mean, I'll take it right back to where we started. I mean, I think of, and actually that's where the whole concept of Thriving Chinguana came from, is actually it was a call with one of my coaches back in the day. And we were talking about this. I don't know why we were talking about, but the idea of Chinguana and just like, you know, there's all this stuff that's like Chinguana como mi madre, Chinguana como mi abuela. And I was like, yes, totally own that, like, they are some strong ass women who navigated life in ways that like I don't even have to.
Yeah.
But I was like, but I love the word Chinguana, but I don't want us to have to keep constantly grounding ourselves in this identity of hustle and grit. Cause I feel like that's what people think of.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think Chinguana, it's like, it's the hustler and like all this stuff. And I'm like, this is my blood. Like, I can pull that out if I need to.
Yeah.
But also, like, why can't we start evolving this concept of chingona to be that, like, it's chingona that, like, I don't have to work on Mondays and Fridays. It's chingona that it's an automatic that I'm a six-figure earner. It's chingona that, like, I can hop on a plane and go to another country when I feel like it just because I want to take a vacation. Yeah. So I started kind of playing with this idea of I want to honor all the struggle they went through that I don't have to because they did. Mm. But how do I now evolve that to actually have the ease and the abundance that they were seeking?
Yeah.
Right? Like, maybe it's taken this many generations to hit, but I'd like to believe that I'm the person who is going to be the generation that figures out what it's like to have all that in my blood and I can pull it out if I need to. Mm-hmm. But also, that's not how I have to spend most of my time. Most of my time gets to be dreaming and in ease and receiving abundance, and it's there if I need it. So when I think of, like, being a cycle breaker, like, I am breaking this need to root my identity in hustle and resilience, but instead I'm grounding myself in ease and abundance.
Yeah. And, like, less in the doing, because I mm-hmm. think we come from a generation of doers, and now it's like intentional doing and creating space to receive. I love that. And one question about community and finding your people. What was the impact of, you mentioned this, Justin, I think it was like in a video or something from like our live event in Mexico City. What was the impact of that for you in just what you created?
Yeah. So much of my career, like from what I was sharing before, like it wasn't intentional then, but super intentional now. I had that protected space of being with all these other Latinas at the beginning of my career,
yeah.
who everything was possible. We were inspiring each other. We were like pushing each other on. I wasn't in spaces where people thought less of me
yeah.
or thought things were not possible for me. Mm-hmm. But as I started moving along the ladder in leadership and had less of that and was around more men and more white folks and more people who just didn't understand who I was for various reasons, then it was getting harder and harder to have deeper conversations, to feel seen, to feel understood in the work that I was doing. And so I really feel that it's important to have these protected spaces where you're with other folks. And, you know, I lean very heavily into my identity as a Latina mm-hmm. to be able to have deeper conversations where you're just known off the bat. You see me, you understand me in ways that other people can't from the get-go, yeah. which means we can go deeper, faster. Mm-hmm. I can open up to you and trust you and be vulnerable with you at a faster rate than I likely would in another space.
That's a really good point.
I've heard folks say that. Like, I vividly remember it was a cohort in 2021, May of 2021. I was kicking off that cohort, whatever number it was, of Chingona Sabbatical. And in the first 15 minutes, we had done an exercise together. And one of the women said, I already feel more seen and understood in this space than I have anywhere else.
Mm.
And she was like, and it's just making me wonder how, like, deep this is going to go over the next 6 months.
Yeah.
And I think about that comment all the time, because I think that really puts into words like what my career was in the beginning that set me up.
Yeah.
To then later, when I got into harder spaces, more difficult spaces where I wasn't seen, to have that foundation already.
Mm-hmm.
How do we create more spaces? And you have clearly built this with Reclamation, where we can be with folks where we can trust and be vulnerable in different ways than we would otherwise. So yeah. we can actually grow faster. Than if yes. I'm in a room where I'm kind of closed off, unsure, unseen, not understood. So then I am doing more of the technical because that's where I can fit in. I yeah. don't want that to happen in my existence in a space, especially for coaching. So yeah. I just think those spaces help us to lean in faster and just not have to explain a lot of things we probably would have to explain in another group.
Yeah. Like, it's like I've been acceleration in a different way, because I think that we're taught acceleration in terms of there's a framework, you follow the framework, you accelerate, versus like having the space where you get to actually access more of yourself and feel safe in community, that is in itself like an acceleration.
Yeah. Nobody in Reclamation, you have never asked me, why do you only coach Latinas? I can't tell you how many times I'm in other spaces where I get that question all the time.
Oh, that's such a good point of like, I would never think to ask you that question.
But I've been asked that question.
Yeah, I can, because I could give you a bunch of answers to that question even without asking. So because it's funny because I would never ask a question that I can be like, oh, I could think of 100 reasons why you would coach Latinas.
Actually, funny enough, I had a woman reach out to me, God bless her. She was a white woman who runs some sort of coaching thing, wanted me on her podcast. And we were doing like a let's get to know each other before. And that was one of her questions, which threw me out because I nobody usually asks me that. So I answer the question, right? And I'm just kind of like, well, you know, I explain the importance of having protected space, everything I just said, spaces to be seen, understood. You don't have to explain it. You can dream bigger, all that stuff. And they started to try to like offer how like, oh no, like that's the same experience that like white women have. And I was like, actually, statistically, what we see is that in a lot of ways, like they benefit first when there's like equity inclusion initiatives that happen. We do not. So like,
yeah,
I'm not going to say there's no isms that they're not experiencing. They can still have sexism, ageism, all that. But that doesn't mean our experiences are the same. And this person just kept like going at it with me. And finally, I was like, you know, I don't think we're a fit for each other. And I didn't do the podcast. But the fact that I even had to not even just explain, justify that.
Yes.
I've never had to explain or justify that to you or anybody in reclamation.
Yep. Yeah. And it's funny because like my blood boils a little bit when I think of the times, you know, it's like where you have to explain who you are and why your needs are different or why you just feel more purposeful. It could even be as simple as that. But again, about like going deeper, faster, I think about how there could be a woman of color community or there could be a first gen community. I very much market to first gen because I think very much in daughters of immigrants. I grew up in a melting pot of all kids of immigrants. So it's just the way that I think. So I think I can go deeper, faster with first gen. And then others are like, they can go deeper, faster with Latinas. And mm-hmm. there's no right or wrong. But like, I think when you are when you've been the recipient of not being the centered person, it's just by default. You're like, well, of course I'm going to create for my people because they have different needs and they deserve and need to be centered. And that there's a difference between being one of, but versus actually being the one that the creation of the program is centered around is so different. So I'm glad you mm-hmm. shared that with me because that's so funny that I'm like, oh yeah, not have to explain that. Is there anything that I didn't ask you or that we didn't talk about that you wanted to just share just across anything that anyone that is listening, whether it's something that they resonated with or something they may be curious about that you just didn't say?
I mean, one thing I'll highlight, I kind of said this quickly, like when I was talking earlier, is like, even just my relationship to you, I think about it sometimes when I, you know, again, with that, like planting seeds and just let it be what it is. You've been in my world since 2020. I didn't join Reclamation until 2023. Yeah. And, you know, my first coach was Dulce and I worked with her and like, she really helped me like build out Chingona Sabbatical and launch it. And through that, like you all were doing a lot. That was like in the Clubhouse days and stuff. Y'all were doing Clubhouse and all that stuff back then. I know nobody does any of that now.
No.
And so like, you were kind of
I built bonds on Clubhouse. Clubhouse was like the shit back then.
For 2 seconds.
That was like our pandemic hangout place.
I was like, I don't have to do my hair, my makeup, and I can like be talking to people. Okay.
Really?
But anyway, but like you came into my world in 2020, and over the years, like, you know, DM here and there, you actually are the person who introduced me to my social media manager because I knew your story and was kind of like, hey, like, what can you help me? I'm trying to figure out getting a social media person.
Yeah.
Like we were in communication and you were in service way before. And it's not like you were doing all of that because you were like, is going to sign a contract next month. Michelle's going to be a client next month. You were just being of service. You also like, you know, were somebody that I was just kind of like, in whatever way, like I want Mariela to be in my world. And then it made sense in 2023 for me to join Reclamation. And now, you know, I'm here for a second round, hopefully for more. And I think like it evolved in the way that it was meant to be. I think about that with like the clients, like to everything I said before, like I speak, they show up on social media, they show up on email, and when it's meant to be, it'll happen. And I think that something that you model and something I'm embodying more and more is just like the clients will come when they're supposed to. The people we're meant to serve will show up when we're supposed to serve them. And so I very much see you being of service regardless of whether a person's your client or not. And that's how I'm showing up in the space. And I think that that's part of why our businesses are doing great because people can feel that. And so there's something about also like, again, to that release, we engage with people, we serve people, and we just release that like they'll be clients if they're meant to be and when they're meant to be.
Yeah.
So I appreciate that about you and took 3 years, but here we are.
I appreciate that because it also shows me that like folks are always watching. They may not always be watching with like, I don't know if I want to work with her or not, but just to think of your community as people that you are in service to is such a different way of like a community of people that are either going to buy or not buy. That I think when we're in service, we're thinking about how can I help someone today? Like, what is the thing that they need to hear without the attachment? Because then you're succeeding at being in service no matter what the results are, which ironically creates the results, but that not with that intention in mind. So I appreciate you saying that. And I think that it's a reminder to me to keep leading in that way because I've seen the results of it in my own life. And I cannot think about business in the other way, because the relationship that that creates is just, that is not how I want to be in relationship with my business or my people. So can you tell everyone a little bit about, just kind of beyond the bio, like who you serve and like what ways you have currently of folks working with you?
Yeah. So the bulk of my work is with one-on-one clients, and I serve leaders of color predominantly in the nonprofit and education space, and mostly Latina leaders. And then I have a group coaching program, the Chingona Sabbatical, which is a 6-month group coaching program for Latinas to define, plan, and live their purpose-driven lives. And then I do speaking engagements. So it's a variety of stuff, actually. I keep trying to put myself in a box there, but really I kind of talk about all the things. I've done purpose workshops for organizations that are doing strategic planning. I have done stuff around equity and intersectionality because that's my background. I also do a lot with folks around dreaming and owning your strengths. And that tends to be more in containers with folks of color who are really wanting to break out of, like, following the rigid expectations of who we should be. And so in those spaces, I get to be really creative with like helping us to just like dream and grow our confidence and just be really clear about what we want in our lives.
Yeah. And I love how all of those are kind of different branches of self-discovery and how that's like an important part of finding your purpose, because the path of self-discovery, when you said dreaming, there's like a part of me that was like, oh, that sounds so like, I felt like an exhale. I was like, gosh, like in what spaces do we have space held for us to learn how to dream? I mean, those are things ideally you would think that we do as children, but not always, or we stop along the way, you know?
So schools kill the dreams of kids of color, and specifically Latino students. So much research, so many studies from way back in the day to now about how students of color have completely different experiences in their schools that are very structured, very do the worksheet, sit in this chair, because yeah. We are being taught to follow directions. And now as a coach, I get to help folks of color unsurface the dreams that our schooling system buried within them.
Oh, unsurface the dreams that were buried within. And I think the idea of like, children don't have a problem like learning how to, or just dreaming or thinking outside of the box. They don't even have a box. So what you said around how there's memories at some point of someone saying either, I know for me, it would be like, that's not real, or you aren't going to make money doing that. And immediately it becomes like anything that is a dream is just for fun. And like, you need to like live in the real world. And I think that that's also the times where we stop creating or like doing things for fun. So I'm glad that you talked about that. Let us know how folks can get in touch with you. What are the platforms that you're most like kind of active on? Do you have email lists? Kind of tell us all of that.
Yeah. So my website is michellesejas.com. If you hop on there, you can join my email list. It's the little pop-up that you'll see right away when you hop on there. And I send out my weekly email just talking about what it means to be a Latina leader. And then I have my social media, which is on IG at Thriving Chingona. And then I'm also on LinkedIn at Michelle Sejas EDD. And in both spaces, I also just continue to share like what's going on. On Mondays on IG, I have Coaching Chisme, where I share themes that are coming up in coaching and just kind of sharing. Like, I know for a lot of us, a lot of my clients, and for me, you know, years ago, like at some point, you've never had a coach before. You're not really sure what this world is. And so hopefully, in those weekly chats, I'm kind of pulling the curtain back about like, what do we actually talk about in those spaces? What are we actually doing? How are people growing with that as well? So, and then on my website, you can also find information about Chingona Sabbatical. Right now, we just are 1 month in with the current cohort, but you can always join the wait list for the next round, and excited to connect in any of those ways.
Yep. And if anyone is listening and they know someone that might be a good fit for that, also forward them this episode or pass along Michelle's social. All right. Thank you so much, Michelle, for being with us. I always love chatting with you. I feel like we could go on for hours just with our own conversations, but you're someone that I really have always like admired and looked up to in the space as well. And I want you to know that. And so it just like means so much that you're part of my community as well. And in reclamation, because I truly believe that like everyone in there like adds their own strength. But I feel like you are also just someone who is this like beacon of like, wow, like she is so powerful. And yeah, so I just wanted to say that. So thank you for being a reclamation, for being in my world, for being on the podcast.
Yeah. Well, thank you for having me. And of course, thank you for coaching and creating the container that you have, because I look forward to it every week.
Yes. Thank you, Michelle.